Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt.
G'day again, and thanks for joining me. Good to have you back. I'd like to ask a question of the left-wing socialists who have been bombing our pages with stupid comments. Now, they keep calling us racists and bigots and all the other stupid things that they do. When are they going to start protesting against Hizb-ut-Tahrir's hatred and violence? Surely the left can't be that blind that they would support an ideology that openly states it will destroy our civilization, the very civilization the left profess to be protecting. Come on, lefties. When are you going to stand up for Australia? Evil lurks everywhere. And Chris Rea sang about it. You must be evil.
My little girl,
being a Muslim these days, you just never know when you're going to get polluted by all this infidel stuff that's in the shops. Actually, even in the bombs that they handle and blow themselves up with. Did you know that every Muslim who has ever handled TNT, nitro, bullets, high explosive bombs, rocket launchers, or even been treated for cuts and injury requiring stitches, or taken antibiotics, or vitamin capsules, has been contaminated with pig products? Now, of course, pigs are not halal, they're haram. You know, we keep talking about terrorists and suicide bombers and that, and we're publishing information here to help them to avoid getting contaminated by pig products. And yet, the ironical part of all of this is that when a suicide bomber blows himself up, his body parts are impregnated with gelatin and glycerin from the explosive. Now, both gelatin and glycerin are manufactured from pigs worldwide. Of course, sometimes they use synthetics, but very often they don't. And how is a Muslim to know these days? The problem is, of course, that once they get blown up and they've got pig gelatin in their bodies, they will never be accepted by Allah into paradise. Something you guys might want to think about, Now, it gets worse. Some cigarette manufacturers use hemoglobin in their filters. And that hemoglobin comes from pig's blood. Apparently this element works as a sort of an artificial lung in the cigarette, so they claim, so harmful reactions take place before the chemicals reach the user, all thanks to the pig. Now, pig bone gelatin is used to help transport gunpowder or cordite into the bullet. Whoops. Insulin, the blood thinning drug heparin, and pig heart valves are all vital. The complex workings of the global food and processing industry have ensured that it is impossible to avoid pig altogether, as Cadbury's found out earlier this year when it was found that pig DNA is in their chocolate. Well, hello! Pig product goes into licorice and many other products. And in this process, collagen is taken from the pig and is then converted into gelatin. It finds its way into lots of foodstuffs where it acts as a gelling agent. A number of medicines also contain pig gelatin. Everything from painkillers to multivitamins. Whoops. Fatty acids extracted from the bone fat of pigs are used in shampoos and conditioners to give them their shiny, pearl-like appearance. And these acids can also be found in a number of body lotions, foundations, and anti-wrinkle creams. Glycerin, made from pork fat, is an ingredient in many types of toothpaste. No wonder the Muslims smell bad. They're not using all these products. Well, I hope not, because otherwise they're getting contaminated by pigs. The big problem for them, and despite their having this halal certification, is that there is no legal obligation for manufacturers to specify whether the gelatin they use is from a pig or another animal. And when it is specified, it is often confusingly referred to as sualine gelatin. So, to all prospective suicide bombers, ISIS, and innocent good Muslims, I say, have a nice day from Percy, the wonderful pig. Oh, look. Someone in his pajamas just popped in. I do believe it's Mighty Mo.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Mighty Mo.
It's a cold day in hell today because Fizzy Muggles has not been heard crying to the press in UK for a while. That just means that his nemesis, Tim Burton, has not been poking him with a stick lately. Could it be that Tim has been poorly? Or has he just decided that Fizzy is not worth the oxygen? Let's visit Tim's tent, camped out at Rotherham Common, to see what is going on. Hoi, Pop. Who was that outside? Now, Tim, as your doctor, I must insist that you calm down and stay in bed for a few more days. Oh, don't you worry about me, Doc. I got too much on me plate. I haven't got time to toddle off this mortal coil right now. I got a lot of Korans to burn today. Now, Tim, don't you go getting upset. Just think nice thoughts. Oh, yes, mate, I am. I'm thinking about them Korans making a nice big bonfire. Oh, shh. Look, there's Anjem Chowdown on the magic picture box. I'll turn up the sound.
Anjem Chowdown, you have issued a statement about the protest against the Rotherham City Council allowing the Muslim rape gangs, and you are also protesting because activists all over the world are burning the Koran today. Would you like to tell viewers your views?
Thanks, Charles. Nice hairdo, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Now, don't go hogging the mic, Charles. You asked me a question, and I would like to take this opportunity to answer it in my usual long-winded, tacky, mongering style, and if you try to intervene, I will simply keep talking like the simpering moron I am, in an attempt to shut you out so that you cannot ever make a truthful point while I tell you more lies and threaten everyone with death and destruction, as is quite clearly stated in our beloved Quran, as narrated to our great and beloved leader, Mighty Mo. May great steaming turds be heaped upon his head for all eternity. Now, if you read our Quran, you will also see that it states in there quite clearly that all women are the property of men to do whatever they wish with. Even our wives and daughters may be flogged. Ooh, I love that bit. Raped. Ooh, yes. But only in the presence of four male witnesses, and we get to cut off their naughty bits too. Ha ha ha! I have a special razor blade I keep just for that. And if you don't like that, then you are not a true Muslim, and therefore I will incite others to chop your head off, because that's the sort of nice guy I am.
But Anjem, you haven't answered my question.
Yes, I have, you blathering idiot. You just weren't listening, so I will state it again quite clearly as I meander from one topic to the other without making any more sense than I did before, with a vacuous smile on my face, and this is my message for the people of UK. Please stop being such nasty people and leave my poor learned buffhead friend alone, Fizzy Muggles, because he is such a nice, friendly chap who is head of that benevolent society dedicated to listening to your concerns about Islam. Oh, he has even given it such a nice name, Tell Mama. Ooh, I get shivers up my backbone whenever I hear that name. It reminds me of my dear fat mama who used to sit me on her lap and thigh me, so that I always had a boner, even when I was a little boy. Oh, sighing being such a terribly Muslim thing to do to young children when they are so young and innocent. Ooh, I must run, dearies. I seem to have something in my pajama trousers that needs seeing to, if you know what I mean. Bye for now, and thank you all so much for listening.
Before you go, Anjem, why do you talk with such a gay voice?
Gay? Me gay? Do you really think I'm gay? Oh, dearie me, that's terrible. Now I'll have to go hang myself. Can't have me being gay Muslim now, can we? Oh, dear me.
Well, we'll have to leave this pleasant scene for now, listeners. Listening to Anjem has taken up all our time. We didn't even have time for our usual sound effects, so here's one just to wish good old Tim all the best for your continued recovery. Make sure you tune in next time to listen to the adventures of
Mighty Mo.
Exodus, singing Children of a Worthless God, dedicated to Islam. Each week, we read from the Quran to examine some of the verses that we object to. Now, of course, the Muslims say that we can't criticize Islam, but that's only because they are so insecure in their own belief and because of their so-called prophet, Muhammad, did a very smart thing. He told them that the verses came from Allah himself, given to him through the Archangel Gabriel. Well, I'm sorry, Muslims, if you don't like us criticizing your Quran, maybe you need to clean it up. I'm going to read two verses, or what they call surahs, from the Quran today. This is Surah 2, verse 244. Then fight in the cause of Allah, and know that Allah heareth and knoweth all things. Yes, that sounds very peaceful, doesn't it? Islam claims to be the religion of peace. But we know Islam is anything but peace. Islam does not mean peace. It means to subject yourself, to subjugate yourself to Allah. And in the Quran, Surah 2, verse 216, it says, fighting is prescribed for you, and ye dislike it. But it is possible that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that ye love a thing which is bad for you. But Allah knoweth, and ye know not. This is the Quran. Not only does this verse establish that violence can be virtuous, but it also contradicts the myth that fighting is intended only in self-defense, since the audience was obviously not under attack at the time. From the hadith, we know that this verse was narrated at a time that Muhammad was actually trying to motivate his people into raiding merchant caravans for loot. These were the raids on the Quraysh caravans on a day that was proscribed. In other words, they were not allowed to attack caravans because it was a holy holiday. But Muhammad did it because he needed the money and he wanted to inspire his people to start killing. This is the problem with the Quran. Written by a megalomaniacal idiot, a murderous pedophile, and this is the man that the Muslims emulate. They say he is the perfect man. What's perfect about that? A liar, a thief, a cheat, a pedophile, a murderer, a killer? I'm sorry, but Islam is not for me. Over the last couple of years, in fact, since the opposition to the Bendigo Bank emerged, we have begun to investigate the banking system here in Australia, and I'm very proud to say that I'm helped by quite a few good people, including one chap called Ganesh, who was thrown out of Malaysia because he exposed the corruption in government and the banking and finance system up there, and he now lives in Australia. I can't say exactly where because it could be very dangerous for him. But Ganesh sends me a lot of information. And almost every day he sends me at least two or three emails with some devastating information. Well, this week he sent me some information about the Bendigo Bank. And we found out that they have been involved in business dealings with the Al-Qaeda-backed commercial IBT, CIBT in Malaysia. And the investigation shows close links between the bank, the proponents of the Bendigo Mosque, and a group of businessmen who have bought the land around the proposed mosque site. Now, it's become obvious that the business group planned to profit from property sales once the mosque was established and more Muslims flooded into Bendigo. The investigation has also exposed links between them and a suspicious bank called CIBT. That bank was set up sometime in 2003, claiming to hold assets of $8 billion. Yet there was no trace of the directors of the bank. Every address given to the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, that's ASIC, turned out to be fake. Now, we found out that the license that they had obtained was to run a full deposit-taking bank. That means a full-blown banking operation. Obtaining one of those is extremely difficult for an unknown commercial bank. CIBT claimed to be regulated by the Reserve Bank of Australia, which it wasn't, and by the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, which it wasn't either, although it was registered with APRA as a financial corporation for the purpose of collecting statistics. These Muslims lie and lie within lies, and this is why we always catch them out. They're too stupid to tell the truth. Now, the corporate head office for the pseudo-bank that apparently held $8 billion was a telephone answering service in Collins Street, Melbourne. Now, eventually, our investigator revealed links between a Malaysian politician, Anwar Ibrahim, who spent years in jail on sexual misconduct charges, and a bloke called Rahim Gauss, who ran one of Australia's two big Islamic home finance organisations, the Muslim Community Cooperative of Australia, also known as MCCA. And, surprise, surprise, links were also found with Macquarie Bank and Bendigo Bank as well. As the investigation continued, the CIBT was closed down and a Dr. Adrian Ong Chi Beng, who was the president director of the bank, fled the country. Now, he returned 2 years later and he was arrested. And in 2006, Ong was eventually found guilty of fraud, and ASIC also alleged that Ong had urged the Bendigo Bank to remove documents from its files and replace them with others during inquiries by ASIC. In fact, ASIC accused Ong of trying to cloak the activities of CIBT and its shareholders from proper secure scrutiny. Now, the Bendigo Bank closed down the account of these protesters against the mosque in Bendigo, claiming that they had violated their community standards. So you've got to ask, are these community standards actually Islamic standards? Is the Bendigo Bank actually a Bendigo, Bendova Islamic bank? Well, you do the math, so to speak. Now, it's important to note that all of this information was likely to have come to light as a result of an ASIC investigation and not any complaint from Bendigo. ASIC, in turn, was prompted by a series of media exposés, mostly in Australia and some in Malaysia. Among the charges that emerged were obtaining financial advantage by deception and dishonestly using his position as a director. Ong was released on bail on the condition that he surrendered his passport, report to the Melbourne West Police Station each Monday, and not attend any international points of departure. He was told to appear back in court in December of that year. But what's bizarre is that somehow through all of this, commercial IBT or CIBT still appeared to be operating, even though it was wound up almost 2 years previously. And when we looked into that, CIBT had just $2 of capital and $66 in the bank. Despite this, the bank's website was still running, hosted on a server in Glen Iris in Melbourne. Well, fast forward to today. Now, the Bendigo Bank is again shown to have a connection with the MCCA, the details having been discovered by a group of Bendigo residents who have had their account at Bendigo closed for their opposition to a mosque in their city, prompted by AIM, the Australian Islamic Mission Incorporated. Now, AIM was founded and is based at the Lakemba Mosque in Sydney. However, there are now two chapters of AIM, one at Lakemba and the second one in Maidstone Mosque in Melbourne. The president of AIM, whose address is listed as that of the Maidstone Mosque in Melbourne, is Sheikh Rabi Baiti, and his name appears as the new owner on the titles of the land for 9 Rowena Street, East Bendigo, that has been financed through MCCA Islamic Finance, Croydon via Sandhurst Trustees, Bendigo, a wholly owned subsidiary of Bendigo Bank, which is a custodian of MCCA Islamic Finance using Saudi Arabian money. it just gets more and more murky, doesn't it? Now, Sheikh Rabi Beiti, I love the way they always call themselves Sheikh, as if that's going to impress us. He's also a representative for the Islamic fundraising group Human Appeal International Australia, which is just coincidentally located a few doors down from MCCA Islamic Finance in Croydon. But Bayit also represents HAI, an organisation named by Israel as a financier of terrorism, adds to the evidence against the MCCA. It's time for Brandis to act, despite his friendship with Raheem Gauss, which he has been reluctant to discuss. So you see, the Islamic corruption has reached its murky, nasty little fingers right into our government. And the murky ties between Australian banks, international terrorist groups, politics and criminals keep revealing ever more nefarious dealings between them. We therefore call for a royal commission into the links between Islamic financing, mosques and terror groups. The stench of corruption is becoming overpowering. You know, we welcome everybody to Australia, no matter where you come from. If you come here sincerely wanting to become an Australian and join in our wonderful lifestyle, you're very welcome. And of course, we have our own culture and our own holidays here. One of them is Christmas. Now, we've seen in the past few years that Muslims started complaining about Christmas. And I think they just feel a little bit left out. So why don't we help them out? Let's spread the joy to all Australians, including the Muslims. After all, they claim to be Australians. So we should share our best wishes with them, don't you think? How about you go out and buy some nice Christmas cards and then look up mosque-finder.com.au and you'll find a directory of all the mosques in Australia. Send a Christmas card to your closest mosque. And if you know any imams or other Muslims, send them a Christmas card too. It's the right thing to do, isn't it? Before I leave you, I'd just like to mention that again. Oh, dear me, that bloody seat rattles, doesn't it? Okay, try again. We're just 1 week away from November 22, when patriots all around Australia will gather together and rally to show that we oppose Islamisation of our country. Now, what does this mean exactly? Well, it means that we are not going to allow Islam to do what it has done in other countries. We're not going to allow them to continue building more and more mosques. In fact, we're going to stop them building more. We're not going to allow them to bring in Sharia law. We're not going to allow them to corrupt our banks and our political system. These rallies are to show the Muslims and the world that we have had enough. And we are Australians. We will not take it. So this is your warning, Islam. Watch what we're doing. Pull your head in and be Australians. Act like Australians. Obey our laws. Stop these kids of yours blowing us up, killing us, going overseas to fight with your Islamic brothers. If you want to do that, get the hell out of our country. We've had enough. But if you want to live here in peace, we'll welcome you with open arms. But you have to change, and you have to prove that you've changed. We're not going to just accept your word, because we know Islam tells you to lie if it will help spread the cause of Islam. We don't believe in your takia. We don't trust you. And until you prove to us that you deserve our trust, we will continue rallying. So come one, come all, join us at the Reclaim Australia rallies right around Australia. I'm organising the one in Brisbane. It's at Roma Street. Starts at 1 p.m. November 22. The park is open from 11 a.m. So if you want to come along, bring your family. Sit down on the grass. Let's have a picnic. You'll have to bring your own food. No booze, I'm sorry. But bring your picnic. Let's enjoy each other's company. and then we'll start the speeches at 1 o'clock. I promise you, it's going to be a great day. And to those lefties out there, watch it. The police are warned about you. I'm working very closely with the police, and anyone who causes trouble and tries to stop us exercising our right to free speech, I will personally have you charged under the Crimes Act 1914, Section 28. And if I do that, and you are convicted, it's a 3-year sentence. So beware. We're on to you, and we're not going to put up with your rubbish and attacks anymore. That's your warning. Heed it. Australia Radio Show once again. I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye now.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time, here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom
and we will fight you to your death.